Hello, and welcome to the Muslim Sheroes of Minnesota podcast, where we spotlight the Muslim women of the Minnesota community. My name is Nosheena Hussain, and I'm the executive director of RISE, Reviving the Islamic Sisterhood for Empowerment. Our mission is to amplify the voice and power of Muslim women through storytelling, leadership development, and civic engagement. What is a shiro? A shiro is a female trailblazer who is creating change in her community. She takes risks, she challenges misconceptions, and addresses injustices. Shiros are on a mission to build a better world, and the sisterhood is here to support them and lift their voices.
We are joined by Nemo Ahmed, the Executive Director of Minnesota Community of African People with Disabilities. Welcome, Nemo.
Thanks for having me. My name is Nemo Ahmed. I'm the Director of MCAPD for Minnesota Community of African People with Disabilities.
So Tell us a little bit about yourself, Nemo. What brought you to Minnesota?
Me, I came to Minnesota when I graduated high school and all the way to California, which is nice weather. As immigrants, there's not that many jobs in California.
Yeah.
So I arrived all the way to Rochester, Minnesota.
Yeah.
And then I went to college. I got a degree for social worker. And I always like to help people. And that was my passion, especially women and children. Women go through a lot in life. So that was my dream, to just work with people. And MCAPD started in 2014. The reason that we started was the disabled people, especially if you're from East Africa, which they challenge a lot. If you are disabled, they call you names. If you miss an eye, they say that, you know, that person's missing an eye, or they say this person's missing a leg, or so they go through a lot. And that person doesn't even go to school. They stay home because the family kind of scared. Kids outside, they might get hurt or to do so. They grow up that mentality to stay in the house. So when they come here, they think they're still the same. Mm-hmm. So we tell them that, no, you don't have to stay home. This is the United States, and you can get any opportunity that you need. You can learn the language, you can get a job. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can come anybody that you want to be.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of social stigma around being disabled.
Yes, it is. It's a lot. People don't understand that they're hurting people, mm-hmm. but they are. And I think we need to do more, reach out to tell them that hurts. Mm-hmm. They look at them differently. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we are human beings.
So what are some of the programming that you have for your organization?
And here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, we have, we're looking for a big building to give them ESL classes. Mm-hmm. Developing for jobs. Give them simple things like help find them housing, apply for them health cares, transportations. They go through a lot because if you don't speak to English, there's no way that you can get around in this country. Mm-hmm. So we're trying to tell them that just come in to do the best you can. But we're looking for a big space right now, mm-hmm. to give them all the help that they need. But we do go to their places, their houses, and we help them to find housing and apply for them, medical supplies, their exercise. Mm-hmm. We give them a free wheelchairs, mm-hmm. anything, so just to welcome them so they don't feel bad.
Yeah. And so that's locally?
Yes, it is. International with the hospital in Somalia. As you know, there's no hospital in Somalia. Somalia was in the war for 26 years. Mm-hmm. So most people who get impact is the women and children. Mm-hmm. They cannot give birth because there's no doctors, there's no beds. Even if they come to the hospital, they have to lay down on the ground to wait for somebody to give them a bed. Mm-hmm. So it's so hard for them. But now the hospital, it helps almost a million women and children. They get doctors and nurses for free. They have a bed that actually they can deliver right now. Okay. Regular beds that we have right here, right now, yeah. That you can adjust it back and forth.
Yeah.
Before they didn't have that. So for us, and just to come go help those women and children, it impacted me a lot. Mm-hmm. Since I'm a mother, what I get here, they don't get over there. I have nurses here. I have a doctor here. I have, like, the day that I say that I'm having a baby, like, a bunch of people come around me and then get that support that I need. But in Somalia, they don't get that support.
I remember reading last year a headline in Star Tribune, "Sent, sealed, and to be delivered. Minnesota nonprofit packs off a whole hospital for Somalia."
Yep.
So how's that hospital going?
the hospital is going great right now. Yeah. It was, people couldn't believe it when we sent it a whole hospital.
Yeah. What did you send? Tell me some things.
We send everything we actually hospital needs. Okay. Everything. Not the only thing that we didn't send was MRI and CT scan.
Okay.
But otherwise, beds. For women to deliver, regular beds that they can sleep, the kids to sleep, little small beds, mm-hmm. dialysis.
Mm.
Yeah, we deliver everything.
Yeah.
And so it was surprising to a lot of people, and especially in Somalia, there's no that actually impact in Somalia, especially nonprofit organizations don't help them that much.
Yeah.
Our lives is somewhere else, mm-hmm. not in Somalia. And when you heard Somalia, it's just only bad things as Muslims, like we are terrorists, so mm-hmm. we did this and that, or we did that. But actually, we did pretty good. And as a Muslim woman, and for yeah. me to help my brothers and sisters,
yeah.
it I feel good. I can sleep.
Yeah, absolutely, it's beautiful. Yeah. How were you able to fund this? Because a lot of people are probably wondering, where did the money come from that you were able to buy this stuff and send it there?
Actually, we get donations. We work with a nonprofit organization called Matter, and they get all the hospitals everywhere, even New York,
mm-hmm.
for hospitals beds and everything that they need. So I send them applications, mm-hmm. telling them what's going on in Somalia. And for me, it was the funny thing is that I met them 2 days. I come back the next day. I tell them that I want you guys to go to Somalia, American guys.
Yeah.
They were like, huh? I'm like, please. They're like, one guy said yes right away. The other one, he was married, so he was kind of scared by his wife.
Oh.
Because so, he doesn't want to die. He was like, yeah. Let me think about it. And then he went back, I think, talked to his wife. He said yes. So I sent them so much. So what they saw, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe their eyes.
Mm.
Like, they came back actually crying.
What did they see? What made them upset?
Yeah, because they see a hospital that people lay down on the ground. Mm. And a mother that her kids are in the hospital, and then they sleep in, you know, a big bed, and the mom sitting on the ground, mm-hmm. cooking in the ground, all the hospital. It was kind of for them, like, they couldn't believe it. So for them, when they come back, they changed the whole thing that they had in Somalia, because they only heard Somali was like this and that, but when they went there, it was like they couldn't believe it. Mm-hmm. So they come back, they were like, oh my God, this is the worst country that we ever been to.
So they came back, and yeah. then you received the funding.
Yep, and then that's where we started shipping it and yeah. building it.
Because yeah.
you have to make them to see what you're talking about. Because mm-hmm. if you just say that, hey, I want you guys to help me with hospital, why does this not how it works?
Yeah.
But then to see their own eyes, what exactly going on
yeah.
in Somalia, that changed their whole pact. Mm-hmm. Like, they never been to Somalia. So American guys that born here. So for them, it's like they couldn't believe it. They still talk about it.
So how long from when they visited to when the hospital was established?
8 months later, we sent everything. Okay. And then I sent them back, actually. One of the guys that worked with us and mm-hmm. another white guy. They were there for 2 weeks just to set up everything.
Okay. Have you had a chance to go back? And
not
work?
Yet. I'm hoping that I will in yeah. the future.
Yeah.
And right now, we send some for my children, the foods for the famine.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, we were in, actually, I was the one that who would tell them that we need help for the famine.
Okay.
So we built, we packed 6 million meals.
Yeah.
So we, there's a camps that kids that who are disabled are in there.
Okay.
So I want to visit that camp.
Yeah.
And just sit there with those kids and their mothers and ask them how they feel and, you know, how this food can help them.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that I might go in a couple of months.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
Maybe I can visit the hospital.
Yeah. Have you talked to any of the patients that have been in that hospital and what their experience has been?
You know, our guys right now are in Somalia delivering the foods, so they do visit the hospitals. For us to see somebody that who succeeded what we did and get the help that they need, yeah. it empowers you more yeah. to do more.
Yeah, because you're seeing the impact exactly. yep. right away.
Yeah, right away. Yeah. So, yeah.
Now, you were born in Somalia?
Yes, I was born in Somalia.
Okay, and then where did you grow up?
I actually grew up here. I didn't go back yet,
yeah.
but I'm hoping that I will go back and
okay.
see my beautiful country.
So you're a fairly young Muslim woman in a leadership position, right? You're
Thank
running
you.
This organization. Because we often feel like there aren't a lot of Muslim women in leadership positions. But of course, you know, the Shiro Series is showing how
yeah.
many Muslim women are leading their communities. What What challenges have you faced in this position?
You know, I challenge a lot of faces, especially for different people. You might be challenged for women's sisters that were supposed to welcome you. You know, they tell you that, oh, what are you doing? This, there's no way that you can help all that big country in Somalia. You know, I say that I can help the whole country, but I can help some of the country. And then this organization, people like, I took some of the disabled people to the state house so they can feel. So there's people that actually who sit in wheelchairs that are, you know, representatives.
Yeah.
So I took them over there. I say, you guys, see, these people are sitting in wheelchairs. You can be whatever you want to be. Yeah, so they couldn't believe it. So just people like, oh, how do you take them to the state house? Who welcome you to the state house? Like, how do you do all this stuff? You know, you have kids. When you have a time. I say, I have a time for my kids, and also I have a time for my community. Because end of the day, you're here to help and to help your people. And some people are like, hey, you're doing a good job. You know, come on, what are you doing? And I tell them, thank you. And someone's like, how do you do this? You know, it's just so big. I don't think I can do it. I said, yes, you can. Anything you put your mind to it, you can.
Yeah.
Especially as a woman Muslims, we're supposed to be the leaders. And we're the backbones of the guys. We need to push them to do something. But if we all lay down and say that we're going to have kids and we're going to sit home and be mothers, then I don't think guys would do that much.
I often hear women feel like, how do you find the time? Because you're a mom, you're running an organization, you have a lot of other community work. How do you find the time?
But that's the thing, though. If you try it, you will have the time. Kids are going to school. They are gone for 8 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, you can do a lot of things when they're gone to school 8 hours. You drop them off at the library, the tutor, and then you still have a little bit of time to do something. So if you try to do something, you can make a time. But if you make everything so hard, then there's nothing that you can do. But I believe that anything that you put your mind to, you can do it. And especially that since we are Muslim women, and we have a lot of different allies around things that Muslim women are supposed to stay homes. That's not how it works. We want people to know what Muslim is.
Yeah.
It's not only about wearing this or that. So I tell them most of the time is I have a lot of white friends. Like on the Ramadan, I took them to the mosque. So you know how the guys pray the other side, and like, how do you know, like, what he's saying? It, like, it's called Quran. We learn it when we're young, or when you're older, like us, because we did this since the day we were born. Our parents teach us. Yeah. Like, this is so nice, you know, and they welcome us and give them food. So it's good them to know how Muslim it is, how welcome we are.
Yeah.
If you don't tell them how our religion is, they will never know.
Right.
So I try to explain to them a lot, especially when I'm with them.
Yeah.
Like, how do you do that? I tell them this and that, and they learn by, you know, day by day. Yeah. Okay. There was this, we like you, you know, you guys have a nice, you know, religions that doesn't bother people. I say, no, we don't bother people.
A lot of the political rhetoric that's happening, it's encouraging that you're able to, like, bring people into the mosque and let them see what Ramadan is and how our community builds. Are there any other, like, interfaith work that you do?
I usually go all different places. Like if they have events, people will send me to me. Like and then they have it, you know, like the state or you know, representative. I usually go over there and just sit and watch.
Yeah.
But this is my main focus.
We know that there are a lot of things happening with healthcare right now. Mm-hmm. How is that impacting the work that you're doing?
The healthcare is impacted a lot because some of the people that were getting the healthcare that they need, they're not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be in the governments and sit there in hours. Transportation wise, we're having problem with that because they don't want to pay the bill. They just make some excuses most of the times. And especially, I think the reason that they make excuses is because Muslim people know how to help their people to do something. The healthcare is not like that. You know, they want to give one that doesn't do anything, doesn't cover for it. Transportation doesn't cover for. And then when you go there and talk to them in days and days and days, right now we're having a protest about the healthcare in the capital. We're just waiting for an email that she's there, that a lot of people are going to go there and protest because it doesn't make any sense, because the people that you're helping is the people that you're cutting off, especially Blue Bloss and other companies are making allegations to the Somali communities saying that they don't have to have, you know, healthcare and get one that you own. There's people that cannot work. So we go through a lot.
What are you asking from, like, the state?
We're asking the state that, you know, talk to the health cares. Make sure that people get the chance that they need. Not because this person can work and that can work. This person, they're eligible to get it, mm-hmm. and they need to get it. And make sure that they pay the people. When somebody comes and pick them up, they didn't get paid. They're not going to come back. Mm-hmm. So we have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. So make sure people doing transportation, they get paid. That so they can do the work that they need to do. Because at the end of the day, they need to pay the bills. But then the disabled people cannot drive themselves. And buses cannot come everywhere. The trains goes only the mall and the downtown. So we want them to give the people the chance that they need so they can do what they need to do.
It's really unfortunate to see other systems impact one system. Transportation, healthcare, education.
It's all in one package. Then it's all going to be a problem. So that's what we mostly tell them that.
So what's one exciting thing that's coming up with the work that you're doing?
It is September 20th, we are having a gala award. That is the work that we did because we were working with different organizations. We're the first nonprofit organization that actually helped international and so on. Mm-hmm. So they went under us, that work that we did.
It's and amazing. Is it open to the public? Anybody can come?
No. So it's a ticket, but we'll have a video and we'd love to share it with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. That sounds great.
Yeah.
So, you know, tell me, you know, who inspires you? Like, where do you get your inspiration from?
Person that actually every time expresses me is my husband. Does. He always says that, honey, you can do anything you put your mind to it. And my sister also say that to me all the time. She say that you always be active and you always like to help people. This is your passion and you like it. Like sometimes I'm down and they'll be like, hey, don't be down. You know, tomorrow's going to be a different day. You know, today's today. Tomorrow's going to be tomorrow. Yeah. So just keep your head up. I'm glad that I have them that who's always behind me and supporting me. And my oldest one, she's 17. And actually, she likes the work that I do. She always inspires me. She said, Mom, you can do it. I like to help. You know, I want to be, one day I want to be like you. I want to help the people that, you know, especially in Somalia and all over. Last year, she did a fundraise for, I think it was Pakistan. They had a basketball game.
Okay.
And I think they raised like $2,000. So she likes to be, you know, helping all over.
That's great because family support, I think, is sort of a running theme that I'm seeing with a lot of the Shiros is that they had either parents or spouses or siblings or children that all provide a very supportive environment so that she can get out in the community and make a difference.
You know, you have people that tell me, yeah, you can do it. And then you get up and say, yes, I can do it. You get a lot of challenge, too. It's like, hey, why are you doing that? Why are you wasting your time? Well, right now, my husband is in Somalia delivering the food. So I'm like, hey, why are you sending your husband? And you get tired, just the kids by yourself. People don't even say no. Some people say, you're doing a good job. And so, like, this person stops to say, hey, you're doing a good job. And then you see another person telling, hey, why are you doing that? So it's, you get a lot of things.
Yeah. A lot of our leaders have talked about, like, we're always on the go, go, go. So how do you take time for yourself?
You know, I'm always go-go. Even if I'm not go-go, I'm in my phone in the email. But I try to have, like, at least one day for me and my kids, you know, to go out to a movie, you know, or swimming or something. So I try to do at least to give them a day that they can say, okay, mommy's home today. It doesn't matter what day it is. So even if I can cancel some meetings that I can, I try to cancel it.
Nima, where do you see yourself in, like, 5, 10, 15 years?
If I'm 10 years, inshallah, I'm seeing myself become a leader to the old Muslim women to do big. Mm-hmm. I want this organization to be big and better to all over Somalia, all the Muslims to get the health that they need. Hoping that I can change a lot of stuff, especially women and children, to give them a job, to do something themselves. So they don't have to be always saying that, you know, we have kids and stuff like that. So I'm hoping in myself 5-10 years that I do better.
I think you're already a leader. I think you need to remember that. You're doing phenomenal work. I think you're an inspiration to some of our young women, also young sisters, who probably want to do something and they need to see women like you out in the community making a change. So you're definitely on your way there. You know, one last question is, if there's anything that, like, we haven't covered or you feel like you want the broader Minnesota community and others to know about you or the work that you do, what would that be?
I just want them to support the pressures that we are doing. We're trying to help the people. So as long as they can support us, I think we can do a lot of things.
Yeah. Are there some examples of where they could support you?
Yeah, we have a Facebook and we have a YouTube. So if they can just share it, like it, comment it, that'd be great. A lot of people do know us right now. The community, Somali community, Muslim community do support us a lot. So I want to thank them always the support that they gave it to us there. Especially I want to thank the leader of Muslims, women, that was doing a great job. Yeah. You know, I just tell them, keep doing it. So I want to thank you guys to region to me.
Yeah.
And how you guys go all around and to hear our, you know, stories of Muslim women. And that impacts us too, because at least we have sisters that come to us and looking for us, the work that we do. So I want to thank you guys for the time and the offer that you guys put her in.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Nemo, for having a conversation with us. We are really inspired by the work that you're doing. We hope that others do support the work that you're doing with your community, folks who have disabilities. But overall, I think, you know, a lot of people need to hear these stories, and that's what this project is about. So thank you once again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you to Blue Cross Blue Shield Minnesota for funding the Shiro's project. To learn more about Shiro's and Reviving Sisterhood, visit us at www.revivingsisterhood.org. Find us on social media at Reviving Sisterhood on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you.